Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Damon Bruce.
It is our 6 o'clock hour. Welcome to it. If Richard Sherman shows up, we will be thrilled to bring you that conversation live and in real time. He was supposed to join us at 5:30 tonight. Unfortunately, that has not happened. I've got several people from Niners PR apologizing, saying everything they're working on it. They're going to owe us a favor. I've had worse things happen than an NFL team officially owes us a favor. We will cash in that favor at some point in time. I can promise you that. So hopefully we get Richard Sherman, but if not, we'll take the favor and we'll bank it for a rainy day. We're also going to invite you to call in right now. 888-957-9570. We're about to play the name game. We got so wrapped up in where has my Sherman gone that I forgot to tease the name game. We're going to do it right here and now. Today we're playing. Are you ready for this? A version of NBA 2K18. Name game, 6 o'clock. It is 6 o'clock, but I forgot to tease it. So I need you to get in line right now if you want a chance to win an NBA 2K19 for Xbox. 888-957-9570. A name. Could be two. It's got to be two first names. In sports, we've been playing. You know how this works by now. So when Albie gets that all set up and we got enough people in line to start this, we will do this. We are... oh, just over an hour away from certainly a moment in time here in Bay Area history. On this date, 29 years ago at 5:04, so just about an hour ago, a 6.9 magnitude earthquake struck us here in the Bay Area. Game 3 of the 89 World Series was defined by a moment that will never be forgotten by anyone who went through it.
Handy Maldonado with the hesitation, allowing Jose Canseco to score, and he fails to get Dave Parker at second base, so the Oakland A's take.
I'll tell you what, we're having an earthquake.
I don't know if we're on the air or not, and I'm not sure I care at the moment, but we are. Well, folks, that's the greatest open in the history of television, bar none. Yes, it certainly did. We're still here. We are still, as we can tell, on the air, and I guess you are hearing us, even though we have no picture and no return audio, and we will be back, we hope, from San Francisco in just a moment.
There you go. Al Michaels' nervous laughter through that moment, I think, tells you all you needed to know. He knew it wasn't anything funny going on, but I think they were excited that everyone lived through it, and, oh, we just got lucky. It's amazing. What a moment in time. I was not here for that moment in time. I remember being a kid at home in the comfort of my living room watching the World Series and that moment and just thinking, wow, what happened out there? And then the blimp shots, the marina, the fires, the Bay Bridge, the collapse. Oh, man. 29 years ago today. Meanwhile, since we're kind of talking baseball right here, Dodgers beat the Brewers 5-2 in Game 5 of the NLCS today. They now lead that series, what, 3-2? We got Red Sox and Astros underway. We don't know if the Astros are stealing any signs from the Red Sox, but the answer is probably. See that story yesterday? Here's the thing. Baseball has become so boring, even that story is a little bit boring this year, isn't it? You can't even get me wrapped around the whole, hey, somebody got caught cheating over here. Baseball's postseason is weird. The less skin you got in the game, the less people watch. It is so weird. 888-957-9570. Look at all these people in line now. Ready for a little something we like to call the name game? Here it is, guys. I wrote the name down for you. You can see that right there. Everyone see that? We're good to go. There will be no switches, no bait and switch, no Richard Sherman interview. It's not a bait and switch. That's the name. I already gave the clue. Let's officially start the name game.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for
the name game.
Starring anyone with two first names.
What's your name?
My name?
Dirt first. It's a funny name.
What'd you say his name was again?
His name is Ricky. Ricky Bobby.
Ricky Bobby. He's got two first names.
Now, here's your host with two first names, Damon Bruce.
All right, we gave a clue earlier on in the show. Maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. You need to ask questions to try to start to pin down who this might be. We take you in the order in which you arrived. When you hear someone's line drop, that means that line is now open to you at 888-957-9570. We'll begin with Dexter in Oakland. Thank you very much for the call, Dexter. What's your question?
Is he a former coach?
No. Thank you very much for the call. John in Hayward. John, what's your question?
Did he stiff you tonight with an interview?
No, I appreciate that, John. You are certainly sort of following the clues that we've left dropped in past name games. But no, it is not Richard Sherman, who we all know does qualify. Remember Sherman Hemsley, everyone. Jefferson's. It is not Richard Sherman, though. Don in San Francisco. Don, what's your question?
Is he an all-star?
Yes.
Does he play for the Warriors?
No. Thank you very much. Appreciate you, Don. But this guy has been an NBA All-Star. Troy in Vallejo. Troy, thank you very much for calling. What's your question?
Hey, is it Chris Paul?
No. Thank you very much. You probably would have done better by asking a question than just taking a stab at it. We got Mo in Santa Cruz. Remember, we're playing for a copy of NBA 2K19 on Xbox. 888-957-9570 is the number. NBA All-Star Mo in Santa Cruz. What's your guess?
Is he in the Warriors division, Damon?
No. Thank you very much for narrowing that down, or I should say opening it up. David in San Jose. How are you, David? What is your question?
Is he a commentator?
No. Thank you very much for the question, David. Frankie in San Francisco. Again, you can hop on that line, 888-957-9570. Frankie, what's your question?
Did he play in Oracle last night?
Yes.
Paul George.
That is correct, Frankie. Normally, this is where Gianna pushes the "you won" button. We'll push that button instead tonight. You have won, Frankie. It is Paul George. Congratulations. You're going to get a copy of NBA 2K19, which, by the way, is phenomenal. Really good version of the game. I'm going to put you on hold there. You can go ahead and take care of him. You got him? You got my boy? Paul George. Look, we're going to have to stop going so obvious. Like, there's way too many names from the headlines. I'm going to have to get crafty on you in future name games. But that was a good one. That was a very good one. Thank you very much for calling in. We got a little something to give away a little bit later on in this hour, too. I don't want to tell you what it is, but it's pretty cool.
Dunce Boy!
And we're going to be giving away a four-pack of
Dunce Boy!
Tickets to see
Dunce Boy!
A little bit later on this hour. So don't you go anywhere if you're looking to win a little something that could still happen here tonight on 95.7 The Game. Did you see or hear what I heard last night at Oracle? It really felt like the biggest ovation was for David West. David West was lauded like a conquering hero. It was great to see the fans do that. It really was. It was great to see the fans appreciate someone who has officially hung him up, gave this team everything he could at the end of his career. You talk about guys who showed up and made an impact on a franchise for just a couple of years. You know, there's been a few around here. We saw Marco Scudero. We saw Cody Ross. My pal, well, look, he didn't do it both with the Cubs, but I'll call him my pal forever because He won back-to-back World Series, first in Kansas City, then Chicago. Don't you want Ben Zobrist? Oh, Ben Zobrist! Oh! Talk about showing up at the end of your career to help win a title. Ray Allen helped LeBron win a championship back in 2013. Sam Cassell was a solid role player for the Rockets, 94-95. That guy only played three seasons with Houston. Very impactful. I tell you, David West, as respected a leader that's been in that locker room, and you could feel the fans absolutely commemorate that last night. I thought Matt Barnes got a hell of an ovation. We need to get Matt Barnes back on, by the way. Ask him what he thought about last night. Let's see if we can we'll see if we can get Barnes on sometime later this week or next. But that had to be a cool moment for him. It was cool to see the Warriors honor so many chapters. And a little bit later on, they had a great, great video montage that I saw in the second half that just kind of went through Warriors history. I think that they're going to go ahead and play that many, many times through this season at Oracle, because they're going to be turning back the clock to, you know, remind everyone how great the memories in here were as we start to go through the memories. And we're going to have to count that down. With about 20 games left, we're going to have to go through the 20 greatest nights at Oracle Arena. I already feel a little project for us a little bit later on this year for sure. Last night in the NBA, we saw the Celtics smack the 76ers as well. There is no doubt that they really are the class of the East. Gordon Hayward came on back. You know who else I saw in that game? Roz. Our girl Roz had that game last night. Jaylen Brown threw down a dunk on Joel Embiid that was something else. Tatum, he threw down a dunk that was blocked but still went in. So if it counts for 2 points, I guess you can count it as a dunk, but he actually did get blocked. The Celtics won 105-87. They should pretty much get through the East, you would think. Their biggest challenger is either going to be Toronto or the Sixers team that they waxed last night. Sixers are young. They've got a lot of chance to get better before the end of the year is here. But I'll tell you, we might be billing the whole LeBron to the Lakers as the end-all, be-all of, isn't this going to be interesting in terms of Warrior rivalry? I can think of something that would be a little bit even more interesting. You see, Kyrie Irving's the guy that I think more than anybody else in the NBA has the opportunity to become public enemy number one amongst Warriors fans. We all know that he hit that shot in Game 7 that brought the title to Cleveland. And now there is a better chance that you're going to play a bigger game when it matters against Kyrie Irving than it is LeBron James. Kyrie Irving, with the Celtics being a heavy favorite in the East, like if they actually came in here and dethroned the Warriors, if it were the Kyrie Celtics that prevented a repeat, is there a bigger enemy in the Bay Area basketball lore than Kyrie Irving? The answer would be no. He would be the guy who cost you two championships and the guy who absolutely eliminated the concept of you possibly winning five in a row. Kyrie Irving could be that guy. 888-957-9570. This is AJ in Hayward. What's going on, AJ?
Hey, Damon. How's it going? I wanted to pass this question on to you to ask Richard Sherman, but I'm still sour from the last game the Niners lost. But just out of curiosity, I wanted to know, like, who calls these matchups in terms of the defense? As we all saw, you know, there's Aaron Rodgers passing two crucial passes to Davante Adams in the fourth quarter, and you saw a rookie number 26 Maven covering him, whereas Sherman was covering the slot receivers and perhaps, you know, and some of the receivers. So what was Richard Sherman thinking in terms of, like, you know, hey, I'm the experienced one over here. I'm the Uncle Sherman in the team. Why shouldn't I go to this Davante Adams guy and cover him, because I can match him up physically and I know where Aaron Rodgers is going to go?
Well, I did see Sherman do that at the end of the game. And unfortunately, we can't ask Richard Sherman directly right now because he didn't show up at 5:30, but I was planning on asking about certainly the penalty at the end of that game, and I did think that Sherman jumped on the player that was hurting them the most, but unfortunately it wasn't enough to prevent what we all saw happening in that game. I think that Kyle Shanahan absolutely left one on the stick when he left time for Aaron Rodgers. You just can't do that. Tom Brady didn't want to leave time for Patrick Mahomes? Why did C.J. Beathard want to leave time for Aaron Rodgers? Didn't make much sense. Damon, does Kyrie Irving count as two first names? Well, there's not a lot of Irvings. Irving Berlin is the only jumps to my mind as first name Irving. I'm sure there's others. I'm sure there's some guy in South Beach playing shuffleboard by the name of Irving right now, but it's just not. Yeah, it would. Absolutely. It would count. We could do that, but it wasn't today. It was Paul George. Thank you very much for asking. 888-957-9570 is the number. Don't you go anywhere. Much more Damon Bruce Show right after this.
You're listening to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
All right, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes my audience scares the hell out of me. And sometimes people are just so interested in picking a fight, they don't realize that they're barking up the wrong tree. I said Irving isn't a very common name. Irving Berlin is really the only one I could think of. Irving is more of a last name. So that's why I couldn't qualify for the name game. And everyone's like, Damon, what about Irving Magic Johnson? Irving Magic Johnson. Guy here is like, what are you, serious? Irving Magic Johnson? Like, come on, man. Ever hear of him? Oh, my God. It's Irvin. Not Irving. Irvin Magic Johnson. Not I-R-V-I-N-G. It's E-A-R-V-I-N. Irvin. Irving. Not the same. You walked around your entire life thinking that his name was Irving Magic Johnson? Tristan in Marin. And don't tell me that you got it wrong. Don't tell me that you got it wrong because you sat here and typed it out. I-R-V-I-N-G. What about I-R-N-V-I-N-G? Irving Magic Johnson. Oh, that's rich. That's unbelievable. I love when someone thinks they're so smart they got to text the show and falls that hard on their face. From now on, he is no longer Magic Johnson. On this show, he will only be known as Irving Johnson. Oh, my. Let me tell you who would have gotten that one right. Kirk Morrison. He knows an awful lot about the NBA. He's a huge Warriors fan. I'm sure he knows the difference between Irving and Irvin Magic Johnson, for goodness sakes. I mean, watch the movie Fletch, for goodness sakes. God. Irving Fryer. Yeah, see, that works. Okay, that works. Last night at Oracle Arena, we saw rings go out. This weekend at Levi's Stadium, we're going to see Kirk Morrison come in. He does pre- and post-game for the Los Angeles Rams. We had a great conversation with him earlier, and I want to run it past you because he got all hot sauce. He got all hot sauce on the Raiders, on Gruden. He just called out a lot of things like he saw it, and it was great. But of course, since he's such a huge Warriors fan last night, he was watching, he saw the ring ceremony, and he saw this team just being next level pretty much with everything. They got spinner, flip it around rings that we've never even seen before. This team is like, we haven't seen anything like this, have we, Kirk?
I mean, wouldn't you have it? We wouldn't have it any other way, right? The Silicon Valley, the Bay Area, just everything that we do is just different than the rest of the world. But, you know, looking at that ring, man, that ring looks spectacular. You can just, you know, maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday, maybe you wear it on one side, then you flip it over on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, it's just fun to think of what the Warriors have done and then to hang that banner, you know, 2016-17 and then the 17-18 banner. And it's like, okay, we need one more banner to close out the Oracle Arena the right way. So, you know, that's what I thought yesterday was. I mean, the history is there. You know, what we've done over the last, what, four seasons, you would say, it's been great, but I think this one is about closing out Oracle the right way. That's the way I'm viewing this season.
It would be great. You know, we were talking about it yesterday. Who's the first person that ever brought you to Oracle Arena?
Wow, the first person I would have to say was my mom. She was like, she was a huge, you know, Al Attles fan. You know what I'm saying? Atlas. You know, she was a huge fan. So I would say my mom, man. We used to sit all the way at the top, and it was fun, dude, just to watch Warrior games back in the day, because it was those iconic uniforms, you know, the white on white or block letters. And, you know, they weren't the best of teams, but it was still fun, man. We made that Oracle Arena an environment that people just, you wanted to go. You wanted to show up. You wanted to have fun. And now when they get good, it's like, wow, it just kind of brought me back to my childhood for sure. So many nights that we would go to the games and watch.
It's a great building that they're just not going to make another one like that when it's gone. That's for sure. Speaking of new buildings, I know the Rams, that thing is rising out of the ground next to the Forum. It's amazing to see this thing come up. You're playing at the Coliseum right now, and it looks like that place gets filled with like 80, 85,000 people for a Rams game. Will there be some romantic goodbye to the Coliseum in any way, shape, or form, or are the Rams too close to being new tenants once again for anyone to get mushy about it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit difficult. Only thing is that because they have, you know, the rest of this 2018 season, and then you have one more season. Remember, all right, of 2019 at the LA Coliseum before they move over to the new stadium in Inglewood in 2020. It was supposed to open in 2019, but like we never prepare for the El Nino rains, right? That came to us last year that ultimately pushed back the project for a year. And so it actually even pushed the Super Bowl rotation a year because the Rams were supposed to get the Super Bowl in 2020, and that thing had to get pushed back. So, look, they've kind of done some upgrades, and they've just turned the L.A. Coliseum that, you know, it's not the best place to watch an NFL game. It's more of a college-type setting. But they've turned it, and they've done, I think, a good enough job to kind of make it feel like a home field atmosphere. But yet, I don't think it's going to be that ceremony when they leave. When they go over to Inglewood, it's going to be totally different. I think people just know that this kind of you're kind of just renting before you move into the home that you buy.
Our pal Kirk Morrison here on the Damon Bruce Show. And if the stadium is a little behind schedule, there's no doubt the team is way ahead of schedule. This is really a special football team. I was surprised to see this game flexed off of Sunday night, not because the 49ers didn't beg to be flexed off, but just because the Rams are in it, and the Rams are the only undefeated team in all of football. People are captivated by Patrick Mahomes. I say the Rams, they might not have Patrick Mahomes, but they also have a defense, and that's what makes them pretty darn interesting. This is a very good team coming into Santa Clara, taking on a 49er team that just cannot change its luck.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, I think the biggest thing with the flex is just the records. You know what I mean? It's just hard to put that record up there. You know, in those standalone games, they usually have the records that stay up there the entire game. So someone turns on the channel and they see, you know, 1-5 or 6-0, it's like, okay. And then the possibility of, like, the Rams scoring too much and it turned into a blowout that people will possibly turn off now with the NBA now started. You know, Major League Baseball is going. So you want to kind of put the most competitive game that they feel like that they can. And right now we can't lie and say that Patrick Mahomes has kind of captured the NFL by storm. The way that they're scoring points, Tyreek Hill the other night against the Patriots. I mean, we saw him on Sunday night, and we're like, wow, we get this. Now we get it again for another week against a team that's actually pretty good in Cincinnati. I get why the NFL did it. And I think with the Rams, they'll get theirs in return in terms of, you know, they got some other games coming up that they'll be on the national scene. But I know how devastated the people down in San Fran are, Damon. I mean, I felt it, you know, down here in Los Angeles, where they had so many things, you know, kind of planned for that night, and the throwback jerseys and the Dwight Clark statue and all of that. And, you know, to me, that's the hard part as a kid growing up in the Bay Area. You know, for me, you know, I wasn't a Niner fan, but I respected the organization and what it stood for and the success that they had. And so I remember those uniforms. I wasn't a Niner fan, but I said, darn, those are some cool uniforms, brother. You know, for me, I kind of understand, you know, the kind of the disappointment by a lot of 49er fans, how big this game was. And, you know, for them to have that Sunday night game be taken away, I know that's a tough one.
as you sit around watching this Rams offense just fire on all cylinders, I mean, Gurley's been amazing. I don't even know if Goff is an amazing quarterback, but the system that he's in, he seems to fit perfectly right now. And it looks like McVay has brought out the best in him. You've been around a lot of coaches in your life. You've played for good coaches. You've played for average coaches. You probably played for a few bad coaches along your way, too, Kirk. What makes McVay special? I mean, this guy, at such an early age, seems to be playing chess while a lot of the rest of football is playing checkers.
You know, Damon, I think really the biggest thing is that he's willing to fall on the sword for everyone, and I think that's huge. And when I say that is, you know, you'll never hear him criticize a player before someone asks about a player's mistake in the game. He's willing to come out and just say, no, that's not on him. I got to make a better call in that situation. Last week, Jared Goff didn't have his best of games, and yet the coach comes out and says, I put Jared in bad situations. That's on me. You know, I'm backed up in a situation, you know, near my own end zone, and I'm calling a pass play where their defensive line is bearing down and we can't get a solid snap count. That's on me as a coach. Like, that's the thing that makes players, Damon, like, I like this dude because no one else would get that, but yet the coach explains it, and it makes the players want to fight that much more for a coach who's willing to put you in the best situation possible to succeed.
So isn't that a really good answer if I ask you a question about John Gruden next? I mean, because John Gruden is over there just putting anybody under the bus that he could find. If he can use your name in a press conference, he might say it twice.
And that's the crazy part about it is because Sean McVay is of the, you know, the John Gruden, you know, coaching tree. And when they talk, they actually sound a lot alike, but yet the substance that comes out of their mouth is totally different. You know, John Gruden is, you know, we're building and, you know, we're not tanking and we're this and that and we need a better pass rush. And, you know, it's just like, it's tough, Damon. And I've talked to some guys on the team as well. And, you know, a couple guys told me, hey, it's not John Gruden. Look, this team is just, we're young. We're inexperienced in a lot of places.
They're not young. They're not young at all. They're the oldest team in football.
They're young in some places where they need to be older. You know what I'm saying? they need to be better. And that's the reason why they brought in the veteran guys, because the younger guys who they were trying to, you know, kind of lean on are just not ready yet or not even ready yet, just aren't there yet. And that's why he brought in the older guys, but yet some of the older guys, you know, are a little bit too old now. So it's like, wow, it's different, though, Damon. I really don't understand what John Gruden has been, what he's doing in terms of kind of tearing that team apart. That was, to me, on the verge, I thought, of being a very consistent, you know, I would say leader in that AFC West for many years, and yet now it's a total rebuild. And, you know, if I'm a free agent, and this is where it comes in, if I'm a free agent, do I want to play for John Gruden from what I've seen? And look, it could be totally different inside those walls of that facility, but we all know that perception sometimes is a reality. And if I'm a free agent outside of Oakland and I'm looking at what they're doing, and the way that this season is going, and I got a coach that may, you know, put my name in a report or a, you know, a press conference, I'm not so sure I want to go over to that side of the Bay Area and play football.
Ooh.
So I'm just looking at players. Think about it, you know. You look at one side and you look at the other side and Kyle Shanahan and what they're doing. Look, obviously devastated and Garoppolo's out, but you look at the way that they played on Monday night and you look at the way the Raiders played in London on Sunday. Can you tell me who's the better team?
Thank you very much. Kirk Morrison just dropping a little science for us here. He understands these things as an 8-year NFL vet. Again, he does Rams pre- and post-game. Very interesting tangent on Gruden and the Raiders. And an awful lot of people are listening to you, Kirk, just nodding their head, agreeing with you. Getting back to this side of the Bay, Richard Sherman, when he signed with the 49ers, I knew that they were going to get a lot of experience and a veteran leader. What I didn't think they were going to get is a bona fide shutdown corner that hasn't missed a step since tearing his Achilles. I mean, it's really been amazing watching this guy play, and I don't know if people are still afraid of him or they're just taking the path of least resistance, which is basically anywhere else in the secondary that Richard Sherman isn't. Do you think Goff and McVay try to test Richard Sherman a little bit just because that's the way they roll down in L.A.?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. They're not afraid of anybody. They're going to go at, I mean, they're limited, but they're not afraid of anybody because of their offense the way it is. And so the one thing that may hurt their offense this weekend is that Cooper Kupp, they're one of the receivers, and I call them one of the receivers because they don't have a number one guy. It's 1A, 1B, and 1C. All three of them are number one wide receivers, and Robert Woods, Brandon Cook, Cooper Kupp. Kupp will be out a couple weeks with a strained knee. So the thing with lean ligament, so with that being said, which guy will Richard Sherman, you know, pretty much guard, or which guy will be he'll have in coverage? Because the Rams, we know, like to go downtown. And if there's one thing that Richard Sherman probably can't do what he was good at earlier in his career, is probably run with those deep routes, deep over routes. So we'll see what the Rams cook up for him. But, I mean, to your point, though, Damon, I've watched him this season, and he's a vet, man. He's a crafty guy. It's one thing when a guy knows what's coming to as well, and that he's seen so much football, just like Tom Brady. When these guys have seen, even Aaron Rodgers on Monday night, guys have been playing this game for so long. It's like, okay, I know when you line up on the numbers, you can only run two routes. You can run an in or a deep out. That's it. Like, it's just process of elimination that certain veterans have, and if they can still react to it, that's why they're still on top of their game. That's where Richard Sherman is.
Todd Gurley, meanwhile, is like Thurman Thomas reborn in 2018. This guy is unbelievable. Like, I knew he was good. I knew he helped an awful lot of people win fantasy leagues last year. But I always want to say, you know, show it to me year after year after year here. I think I've seen enough from Gurley to say that there is no doubt he is on that 1A line in running back pecking order in this league right now. Sorry, Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with you. I still think Le'Veon is more dynamic than Todd. You know, Todd is a great running back, and what he's doing out of the backfield, you know, definitely shows that he's an all-around back, and even still doesn't get enough credit for what he does on third down and in passing situations. Damon, I mean, I've literally seen him hit a couple guys. I'm like, okay, that pass is not completed by Goff if Todd Gurley doesn't make that block. But then I'll throw at you this. I just think Le'Veon can still play wide receiver, too, though. Line up and be a real threat at wide receiver, where is, you know, Todd Gurley is more of a screen pass guy or a check down guy, where Le'Veon can actually run routes like a wide receiver that you have to do. So I think the edge on just the playmaking ability still goes to Le'Veon. But, I mean, it's not like, you know, Todd's that far behind. I mean, he's still right there. He's a more of a bigger back and a thicker back. And so that's where he gets the edge, is that when he's downhill, a lot of guys are making business decisions, Damon, on do I tackle this guy or do I just try to shoot my shot and get out of bounds? That's where, you know, Todd Gurley has the edge, man. He's 6'3", 230 pounds, and he is coming downhill, brother. I would want no parts of that, I'll tell you that.
Love talking ball with Kirk Morrison, man. This has been fantastic. Getaway question is this, and I hope you enjoyed as much as any other question this whole interview. What's the best concert you ever saw at Oracle Arena?
Oh, best concert I ever saw. Man, if you ever get a chance, Google the Hot Boys concert. I believe I was a junior in high school. It was the Hot Boys concert. You know why it was the best concert? Because they couldn't even have a concert. It was so packed, and it was just a big brawl that ended up starting up. And it was probably my most memorable concert because the concert didn't even happen. It was just too much going on. So if you ever Google that or find out the Hot Boys concert, the Hot Boy Tour, I believe it was my junior, senior year of high school.
Who were the acts on the Hot Boy Tour?
Yeah, so the Hot Boy Tour was Juvenile. It was Lil Wayne. This is when Lil Wayne was part of a group still, when he wasn't like the single solo act. So it was a funny time in my adolescence, I'll tell you that.
Did you throw a punch at the Hot Boy concert?
Nah, man. No. I went to Catholic school, man. You don't throw no punches. But no, all right. But honestly, outside of that, though, I think one of the best concerts I did go to, I saw Mariah Carey, and she was fantastic. Mariah Carey at the Oracle, man. One of the bright spots I've seen at the Oracle in terms of concerts.
She can hit a note or two, no doubt about it. Hey, Kirk, thanks very much for your virtuoso solo performance here today. I really appreciate it.
Hey, all good, Damon. Talk to you soon, brother.
Kirk Morrison's the man. Love talking with him. Love that he's a huge Warriors fan as well. Someone's like, Damon, your axe grinding is unlistenable. Let me tell you what's unlistenable. Brent Musburger doing play-by-play, all right? The amount of nonsense you Raider fans sell yourselves to wake up a Raider fan every morning, it's getting comical and it's getting embarrassing. Like, this team's broken, the head coach is broken, the whole thing's been a mistake, and if you can't admit it, you just don't want to wake up and smell the coffee. I mean, I'm sorry, this is not an axe to grind. Everything Gruden was promised to be, he's not. Man, seriously, straight up, everything you thought he was going to come and do for this team, the opposite has happened. He'll be the guy who steadies it all. He'll be the guy who everyone wants to come and play for. He will show you innovative play calls that really can only come from someone who's had 10 years off and a chance to step back and look at it all. And it's rudimentary, and he's chasing talent out of town, and I believe Amari Cooper's on the trading block tonight. Like, give me a break. This isn't axe grinding. This is reporting on the observable facts that are happening to your team. How about this, though? You think I'm just grinding axes? Obviously, you want a little something. 888-957-9570. I've got a four-pack of Sharks tickets for the game on Saturday. Celebrate Hispanic Heritage Night with your San Jose Sharks Saturday, October 20th, when the New York Islanders come to the SAP Center. All fans in attendance will receive a Los Tiburones jersey. Very nice. So we're going to have a little trivia question. I can tell you right now, the incorrect answer is...
Dunn Scoy!
That is the incorrect answer. Do not answer...
Dunn Scoy!
...to the question, who leads the Sharks in goals this season? First person, 888-957-9570. Albie, go ahead and unbusy the lines. First person who can tell me who leads the Sharks in goals this season... gets a four packs of Sharks tickets for this game on Saturday. And oh, by the way, earlier for the name game, we gave away a fantastic copy of NBA 2K19. NBA 2K19 out right now, celebrating 20 years of redefining what sports gaming can be. From the best-in-class graphics and gameplay to groundbreaking game modes, NBA 2K19 available now on Xbox One, rated E for everyone. The game is awesome. Who leads the Sharks in goals this season? First person with that answer gets a four-pack of tickets to the game this Saturday. Good luck to you. 888-957-9570. We'll be back to tip our cap and tell you who the winner is next. All right. Congratulations to Robert from Fremont. He won the four-pack of tickets. Fantastic. Thanks for listening, Robert. Go have a great time down at that Sharks game on Saturday. Got a lot of people here on the text line weighing in on the atmosphere last night at Oracle Arena being messed up a little bit by the new PA guy, and I totally agree. I really do. I think that the beauty of Oracle were all the sights, scents, and sounds, and Matthew Hurwitz was the soundtrack of that building, and that soundtrack got replaced by an inferior soundtrack. And I'm not saying that the new guy is bad at this, but the other guy was really good at this, and there was no reason to stop him. And I think if you're looking for, like, what's maybe something the Warriors can do to bring a little magic back to Oracle, I think it's already time. Is it hashtag bring back Matt? Can we start a hashtag for Hurwitz? Can we bring him back? I think
Irving
we should.
Irving magic?
Irving magic hashtag? Hashtag Irving Magic Johnson. That's who they should have hired. You're right. Not Irvin. Irving. Very, very, very interesting show today. I'm so sorry that we were unable to bring you Richard Sherman at 5:30. We did everything we could to set that up. It was set up. The Niners say, hey, it was set up. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. Guess what? The Niners owe us. And I don't want tickets. I don't want a free Michael Mina buffet. I want Garoppolo. That's where this goes now. It's time to get that exclusive, hey, Jimmy, how you doing? How's your ACL interview that no one else has had yet? We haven't heard from Garoppolo since the injury. I want Jimmy G. We will be talking to him, I promise you, in the next few weeks. I will make that happen. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, I will. Meanwhile, we want to thank Kirk Morrison for joining us today. Thank you to all of you who called in for the name game. We'll let you know that coming up next, Chris Townsend and Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, are going to take you deep into the night, so don't you go anywhere. Let's get you updated on everything that's going on in Major League Baseball before we tip our cap, say goodbye. The Red Sox are leading those cheating, sign-stealing Houston Astros 3-1. That is in the middle of the third earlier. The Dodgers beat the Brewers 5-2 in Game 5 of the NLCS. That is now a 3-2 series lead. All right, something to keep an eye on there. Hey, I want to thank you very much for tuning in tonight. This was an awful lot of fun. We certainly couldn't do it without you. Really appreciate it. Hopefully Gianna's feeling a whole lot better tomorrow, and we'll be back with us, and we'll be right back on schedule. I'd like that very, very much. Really appreciate talking to you. Thank you so very much. I can tell you that Steve Kerr is joining us tomorrow. David Carr will be joining us tomorrow, and we certainly have an awful lot to talk about. Derek Carr. What Kirk Morrison said earlier this hour about how John Gruden is just going to attract zero free agents, treating the NFL like this, I think there's an awful lot there. We'll, I'm sure, have more on that tomorrow. In the meantime, do appreciate you listening. Couldn't do it without you. And remember this, sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.